The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Oh, what a world, what a life, wait a minute, it's all messed up in here. That's the old show open. Where's the trash can? Let's get rid of that. Alright, can we start over?
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to our show, January 4th, 2020, new year, new time, and we are locked in now, 9 to news, 9 to noon forevermore. Whippersnappers here, just like the old days. Adam Walker behind the glass, keeping busy at 303-696-1971, 696-1971. You can reach us as well on the 710 KNUS app, text to studio. Already a whole lineup of texts there. We'll take a look at those when we get a chance, and love to read those on the air. And as always, if you want to contact me directly, send me a friend request on Facebook. We can chat there. Follow me on Twitter at Randy Corcoran. We can do direct messaging there. And of course, 710KNUS.com. Find Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Big red button says email the show. All the different ways we can do our thing here in this new time slot, 9 to noon on Saturday mornings. I am Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. And of course, today we will be talking about just the major, major stories on everybody's mind. The impeachment circus, the impeachment hoax picks up. Session begins next week, and we've already had some commentary from U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell on how he intends to proceed. We'll check in the 11 o'clock hour with Congressman Ken Buck. The House theoretically is done, although we hear that we're going to impeach on other things. Abuse of power, this taking out of the, really seemed to me, the number two in command in all of Iran, certainly one of the most dangerous terrorists and generals, Soleimani, gone from the face of the earth. May he burn in hell. I don't know what the virgins look like down there, but I am just astonished when I hear, I even heard a monologue from Tucker Carlson last night and hear it on the radio. Of course, we know how the left is reacting to this takeout of this major, major terrorist. We're going to dig into that fairly deeply. In fact, in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by one of the heroes of Benghazi, John Tig Tegan, and my belief, and of course more information has to come out, is when they went after our embassy in Iraq, it was their plan to turn it into another Benghazi. And this dead terrorist Soleimani was behind the planning for that, behind the death of an American in missile attacks last week. Other massive death to America, death to Israel, terrorism from around the world, planned and promoted by this charismatic figure who walks the face of the earth no more. And we have people complaining about it. I just don't get it. We'll find out how Teague views the whole situation, compare what happened to him in Benghazi to the response of President Trump. when our embassy was under siege just a couple of days ago now. And we'll also check in with the local warrior, the minority leader of the Colorado State Republican Party in the House, Patrick Neville. He served in Iraq, two tours, as I recall. And, you know, you hear the term boots on the ground. Let's hear what the boots on the ground. Think about the difference between the way Obama handled these situations, the way George W. Bush. We may not go back that far today. There's not time. But the distinction between Obama and President Trump, action versus inaction, dead Americans versus saved lives, sending a message to those who would do us harm that we can find you and we can take you out at the time and place of our choosing. What do the warriors think? Should be an interesting 10 o'clock hour. Getting back to Ken Buck, he's also the chairman of the Colorado State GOP, and we will look ahead. What do we need from people like you and me to make this 2020 election a referendum on the overreach of the left, both in our state and out our state? And then coming up in about 15 minutes, really looking forward to one of the good guys. He announced that he will not be seeking a U.S. Senate seat. Not sure exactly what that means for his future, especially in this particularly high-tension, high-stakes election year. But the former campaign manager for and advisor to President Trump, Corey Lewandowski, joins us here at about 9:20. He's at the airport, so we will just time things around what he needs and what he can do. But that's coming up very, very soon. Before we dig into all of that, if you were here at the tail end when I came in and spent a few minutes with Deb Flora, great job, 6 to 9, by the way. But when I came in, I just cannot believe the things that become necessary for us to talk about. If you are willing to drive to the Lafayette Public Library, Lafayette, Colorado, it's up north of Denver, 775 West Baseline Road, 775 West Baseline Road, Lafayette, really kind of a suburb of Boulder. People who can't afford to live in Boulder have been filling in these outlying areas surrounding the Boulder area. But they're doing it at 10:30. They are doing Drag Queen Storytime. Drag Queen Storytime. Right there on their website. Here's how they describe it. Actually, they say it's at 11. I had seen 10:30, but who knows? Get there early. If you're within driving distance, I don't care if you're in Colorado Springs or in Fort Collins or up beyond the foothills somewhere into, you know, this side of the mountains, you've got an hour and a half, almost 2 hours to get to the Lafayette Library. Not to make a stink, not to insult or fight, but to stand in solidarity against, well, here's how they describe it. All ages, come dressed in your finest for a special New Year story time featuring local drag queen Shirley Delta Blow. Gee, now I wonder what that's a reference to. I wonder where that stage name came from. I'm just assuming, I admit it. It goes on, Shirley Delta Blow. Drag queen story time captures the imagination and gender fluidity of childhood play and shows children that people come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. Drag queen story time. Now look, you know, I come from a big family and I love all of my relatives and I don't care how they choose to live their lives. They're not hurting other people, how they view themselves, who they sleep with, who they commit to. I love every single one of them, maybe with the exception of the one who made a donation in my name to Planned Parenthood, the national group, and to Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood, the local group. Somebody, anyway, based on the first initial, could have been a relative, could have been somebody who lied about their identity. But they made donations, you know, just kind of an FU, a slap in your face to someone who stands for protecting life in the womb or someone who supports and stands for and appreciates the work of the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. I still love that person, but I'm not very happy with them. If I see them, and it's who I think it is, we will certainly have a conversation. But I digress. I don't care how they choose to live their lives. I feel sympathy for people who struggle with the body that they're living in, you know? I don't feel like a man, even though I was born genetically as a man. I can't imagine it. The medical term, gender dysphoria. Of course, someone who is living through that is probably likely to take that as an insult. I don't mean it that way. I have had colleagues, I know people who are dealing or have even made the determination to change how they identify. And I don't care. God bless you. Set aside, if you are a Christian and you're using the Old Testament to condemn, consider the New Testament and forgive and support and love each other. We can all have our opinions about it. My opinion is I want people to be happy. I want people to live their lives without harm to others, of course. And I'm not going to judge somebody because people of great character struggle with this. This is a real thing for some people. So I am not condemning you or them. But it is outrageous, outrageous to be subjecting children of all ages, they like to say, to this kind of, to me, just absolute abuse. If you go to the website, dragqueenstory, I think it's .com. I lost it. I don't have it in front of me right now. But on the very front page, there's a picture of a line of drag queens. And frankly, they're kind of scary looking because everything is so exaggerated. But there's a young woman, young mother, could be the child's mother, I don't know. Proper age for the child's mother, kneeling down next to a toddler who is looking at this lineup of really caricatures with a terrified look on her face. Maybe that's just my interpretation. I'll pull it up on the break and look at it again. We'll be talking about this more later, I'm sure. She looks terrified. So they're trying to normalize things that are not normal. I understand that the percentage of a percentage of our population worldwide here in the country deal with these issues, see themselves in a different way. Okay. But what they're trying to do, I can't imagine a parent who thinks it's a good idea to take their young child and expose them to this oddity, to this. You know what? It's not like the young woman who did the first birth certificate change, was on the front page of the Denver Post a couple days ago. Born as a boy, I think identifying as a girl, maybe the other way around. But at least that person looked like a respectable person. Smart and sharp and sensitively dressed. And this drag queen stuff is aberrant. It is scary. And are you telling me that this drag queen's last name of Blow is a coincidence? I've seen some of the videos. It's sexualized. It can be terrifying. My God, I remember how uncomfortable I was in the stupid black and white sex education classes that they gave us back in the 60s. We don't need to hear that from you. We don't need to be in a room made uncomfortable to try and neutralize our rejection of something that is so odd, so out of the norm. How about letting people just be people? And that includes you, if you are LGBTQ, XYZ, LMNOP. I mean, the letters go on ad infinitum now. So I just want to encourage parents to go over, maybe video cameras in hand. Don't take pictures of the kids, but keep an eye on what's going on there. How is this presented? Do I have it wrong? I'm on the air today, so I can't be there. But I would encourage you. We're going to take a break now so we can grab Corey Lewandowski before he has to catch his plane. We can talk about this more after we spend some time with Corey Lewandowski here in the next segment. But it's 775 West Baseline Road in Lafayette. According to the website, 11 o'clock. I had last heard it was starting at 10:30. We'll clarify that as well. But we need some people there. Some grandmas, some moms, and some dads. And don't make a scene. Don't embarrass. Don't stand by if people try and push you around. But observe and let folks know that for so many of us, even though we have no ill will for anyone who is forced to or choosing to live their life in this different way, it is not okay that you shove it down the throats of our kids. All right, let's get to our break now. 9:17, Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS, and Corey Lewandowski when we come back.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
And we're back at 9:22. Good-looking day outside, already 40 degrees in Aurora, 36 in Denver. We'll get close to 60 degrees today, 57 mild and dry, 45 tomorrow. We won't see 50s again till Wednesday. But a great opportunity to get out and have some Colorado fun. So good to have you along at our brand new time, 9 to noon, every single Saturday. And the text messages are pouring in. And before we get to our great guest, I just want to encourage you. I went back during the break. I looked at this website, dragqueenstoryhour.org. And I just want you to go check it out and see if you don't think that this is a look of terror in this toddler's face as she's looking at this drag queen. And the scarier looking ones are lower down in the on the webpage. Of course, if you go there, they'll ask you for money. But they're doing this in Lafayette, Colorado, 11 o'clock. And if you're around, if you're willing to drive from wherever you are, get out there, have your cell phones. Don't snap pictures of the kids, but just keep an eye on things. Have a conversation. Stand in solidarity against this weirdness. 775 West Baseline Road. We'll continue to talk about it. They're trying to capture the imagination, they say, and the play of the gender fluidity of childhood and give kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. That's the goal. It's happening today in our own backyard. All right. Really excited to finally track this guy down. I know he's at an airport. He's going to be jumping on an airplane any minute. So let's get to Corey Lewandowski. So good to talk to you again, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on. I appreciate it.
You better believe it. And man, your life has been crazy busy. And you made the decision, you announced it right near the end of the year, to not seek a U.S. Senate seat in New Hampshire. That would have been a fascinating race. You already had the full and unabashed support of the 45th President of the United States. What fueled your decision, Corey?
Yeah, the first and most important thing is obviously the toll that politics takes on your family. And, you know, I've got four young children, and, you know, my 13-year-old daughter really was absolutely opposed to this. And we talked about a lot as a family, and I think if I would have gotten in the race, I would have won the race. And then I had to ask myself where I could be most impactful for our country and for our president. And is that in the U.S. Senate, or is it making sure that the chief executive officer, Donald Trump, is reelected president of the United States to set the course and the direction for our country for the next 4 years? And I talked with the president a lot about it. And while I think if I would have gotten the race, I would have won that U.S. Senate race, I didn't want to take away the opportunity to campaign full-time for Donald Trump for reelection in November of this year.
Yeah, and boy, I'll tell you what, putting family first, so very important. You know, I commend those who are in office, and especially if they're commuting back and forth to D.C. and have kids at home. That's an awful lot of plates to keep spinning. But for you to be able to spend as much time at home as possible, 13-year-old, those are important times to have dad around. I don't know you know, that well, and I sure don't know your personal life, but it sure sounds like a family first, America first kind of decision. So I commend you for it, sir.
Well, thank you, and it really was. And, you know, it's something that my family really, we talked a lot about, and obviously it's a big sacrifice and the commitment to go through the ridicule and the scrutiny that public life now entails. you know, and being a Trump supporter, you're labeled as everything from a racist to a misogynist to a bigot to you name it. And while I know that's not true, my family knows it's not true. I didn't want to subject my children who go to the public schools into that. And I said, you know what, if I'm going to fight, I'm going to fight for this president. I'm going to fight on television. I'm going to fight on the radio. And I'm going to hold these Democrats and the far left liberals accountable for the hatred that they actually have for this president, because they hate him more than they love their country. It's a sad state of affairs, but your listeners know it's true.
Talking with former campaign manager, advisor to President Donald J. Trump, Corey Lewandowski. And, you know, Corey, one of the reasons I am confident you would have won had you taken this on, I mean, you exhibited the way you interact with life, the way you interact with the other side of the political aisle, and the way you would have interacted with the press and the and your political opponents had you run for Senate. You demonstrated it when you were called in to sit down in front of Congress and raise your right hand and answer questions under oath. How in God's name can we convey that the Donald Trump method of never, you know, stepping back, never walking away, never turning away from a fight, finishing off your opponent, is what's necessary for Republicans and conservatives and America First candidates to actually win in the 21st century political arena that we have?
Well, it's so important because you have to remember those candidates that run as vanilla mainstream Republicans who don't have the fortitude to step up and fight often lose. We saw that in the 2018 election cycle where a number of the candidates who were running for Congress didn't embrace the America First Trump agenda, and they lost their reelection efforts. But then you look at Congressman Andy Barr in Kentucky, who said, yes, I want the president to come and campaign for me. And he won overwhelmingly. You look at the U.S. Senate candidates who are on the ballot in 2018, and Donald Trump went and campaigned for them, and they embraced that agenda. They were winning, defeating incumbent U.S. senators in Missouri. And, you know, that's what it takes. So what we've seen all too often are elected officials or politicians who think that by being kind and being nice and placating the left, they're actually going to get them to vote for them. The left's hatred of this president is so visceral that it doesn't matter. Look, this president has now killed two of the worst terrorists in the world. And if you turned on CNN in the last 3 years, you'd think that our economy was falling apart, that terrorism is still rampant everywhere, that we're putting cash on pallets and sending it overseas to foreign leaders. You think all those things were happening under this administration, but the truth is they happened under the previous administration, because this president has drawn a line in the sand. And you turn on the TV today and you see what they're saying about the terrorist leader that this president just had murdered because he was a terrorist, and you would think that, you know, this president is committing high crimes and misdemeanors, and you look at what they've done to him as it relates to the impeachment. The American people are too smart. They're tired of it, and that's why Donald Trump continues to win, because he never backs down and loves to fight.
And the proof is in the pudding. We've got candidates here in Colorado that I hope will hear that message. I know we're working on them. You talk about the propaganda. Before I launch into the couple of topics I definitely want to drill down with you on, we've got about 10 to 12 minutes in this segment. I know you've got a plane. Are you good for the next 10 or 12 minutes?
Yeah, I can do that, and then okay. I'll be jumping on the plane, so
very,
no problem.
Okay, very good. Then before I jump into the two main topics, you were on hold when I was talking about this drag queen story time going on in one of our little suburban communities, Lafayette, at the library today. Did you have any kind of a reaction to what little you heard about that while you were on hold?
I can't actually believe it. Look, this is where the left is winning. They are socializing that it's okay to pretend that you're something that you're not. We see this now with the LGBTQFRZ community, where if you're a transgender and you're a male and you're terrible at a particular sport, you can go and compete as a man in a women's sport, and now that's okay. It's really not okay. I've got a 13-year-old daughter. I don't want her competing against grown men or boys of her age or having those people in her locker room. That's just me, and I don't think that she should be forced to have to do that. But what we're seeing now is a socialization of, by not calling this out, it's offensive. And what happens is when you do call it out, you're considered a racist, you're considered a misogynist. So by you calling out and saying that this is not the way that behavior should be done, they make you the bad guy as opposed to actually calling into question the actions of these other individuals.
I'm encouraging folks to get over to this library by 10:30, 11 o'clock, 775 West Baseline Road, not to make a stink, not to start a fight, but to be present. Have cell phones in hand. Don't take pictures of the kids, but show up. And caller Joy Overbeck just suggested also call the library, 303-665-5200, 665-5200. We'll keep pounding on that between now and 11 o'clock. Corey, you brought up the takedown of General Soleimani. A New York Times reporter has posted up a picture of Soleimani reading poetry. The left-wing media, the never-Trumpers, are all gasping and sighing and wondering, did the president do this because he's in the midst of impeachment and he's trying to distract people? It's just simply outrageous. That's not how this president rolls. You know him. I don't know him at all. I just know what people who know him well have told me. You know him as well as anybody. Is that the way President Trump makes decisions? Is he terrified of impeachment?
Look, this president and I have talked about impeachment a lot. This has been the biggest sham on a president. There was no underlying crime ever in the history of our country. And let me just tell you something. When it came to taking out a known terrorist, world leaders should be calling this president and thanking him for the job that he did to kill General Soleimani. And the reason being is we knew that that individual had the blood on his hands of many Americans, and he was planning additional attacks. And I thought that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to rely on our intelligence community to provide us the best information possible so that our chief executive officer can make a decision. And a decision like that is not an easy one to make. And I am certain the president weighed all of the information available to him. When he was presented with the facts, he made a strict, strategic decision to eliminate someone's life, which has to be a very, very difficult decision. But he did it to save American lives. And his job is to protect all Americans against enemies, both foreign and domestic. That's what he's doing. That's what he does every single day. And this whole impeachment thing, you and I both know, and my 8-year-old said to me the other day, hey, Dad, just because he said the president is impeached, does that mean he's not our president anymore? I said, no, son, he's still our president. He said, then why did they waste our time on this? And that's really what it came down to. This was a political impeachment. It was actually bipartisan in the sense of there were Democrats who voted against impeaching this president, which is what Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff said was not going to happen. And so we're winning right now. Our base is more fired up than ever. We're raising more money than ever. We have more money in the bank than ever. And this president is so geared up and ready to go for the November 2020 election that I'm going to predict we're going to have a larger electoral victory than we did in 2016.
Corey Lewandowski stays with us. In the next hour, Corey, we're going to be talking with John Tig-Tegan, one of the heroes of Benghazi. We're also going to talk to Patrick Neville. He's our Republican House Minority Leader, served 2 tours of duty in Iraq, about their position on Donald Trump's taking action the way he did. What do you say to the Rand Pauls of the world, the people on media, on radio, elsewhere that say, you know, we've got no business being over there. We should not sacrifice another American limb or life. And all we're doing is provoking and guaranteeing some kind of a response from Iran. What's your response to those folks?
Look, I think that our military should be in places that make sure we have a forward interest there. And I agree with Rand in this sense. We should not be the police force of the world. My brother spent 23 years as an active duty United States Marine, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm also concerned that if we don't eliminate threats, those threats end up on our soil. And so look at 9/11, the failure of the intelligence community time and time again to allow us to know about those threats and then to eliminate those threats brought that terrorist threat to our soil. So I want to fight bad guys on their soil. But let me tell you, we have the greatest fighting force in the world. They had a president who stands behind them, who's rebuilt our military. I know Tig. I know what he did. And the Democrats want to say this is another Benghazi. Here's the difference. When Donald Trump saw there was a problem at our embassy, he sent 4,000 U.S. Marines to go and protect those guys, because that's what you do. And it was a very different environment. So, look, nobody wants to go to war, including this president, but we cannot allow individuals who want to perpetrate crimes and death against American citizens to continue to survive because they're on foreign soil. It will not happen, and it did not happen under this administration.
And just think about the message that this must must send. For instance, General Soleimani, you know, is a middle of the night drive into the Baghdad airport, getting on a plane to take off to who knows where, surrounded by people, you know, feeling safe and protected. And that tiny little footprint on a piece of asphalt, the Baghdad airport, was an easily targeted and accurately hit at the time and place of our choosing. That has to just send chills up and down the spines of other terrorists and terrorist leaders, even though I know many of them believe that their greatest glory is dying in pursuit of the cause.
Well, look, we are the most lethal fighting force the world has ever known, and we are now operating outside the sphere of looking at our enemies in the eyes. We're monitoring people through artificial intelligence. We're seeing them from the sky. We're using drones. It's now been well reported that this was a drone strike that took him out, and the only thing they could find left of this dirtbag terrorist was a ring on his finger. And you know what? Maybe that's too much to be left of that guy. He has over 600 lives of Americans that he either directly or indirectly caused their deaths, and we knew that he was going to do more. So for the president and his team of advisors, including the Joint Chiefs, including the vice president, including the intelligence community, to come to him and say, this is an opportunity to take out a really bad guy, and we may not get another one, and the president had the tenacity and the guts to actually authorize that, I stand up and I salute that, because I want to kill those guys over there and not over here.
You can follow Corey Lewandowski on Twitter at C. Lewandowski. It's very easy to spell phonetically. The website is roughrider.media, roughrider.media. In the couple minutes we have left, Corey, I definitely want you to give us your prediction on if and when Nancy Pelosi will actually transmit the articles of impeachment, but also if you have any book coming up, any television appearances, anything you'd like folks to know about. Now's your time, brother.
Well, a couple of things. Look, every day that Nancy Pelosi does not send those articles of impeachment over, we're winning. I had the chance to sit with Mitch McConnell just before the congressional recess, and he was very clear. He does not want to undergo an impeachment trial. Now, by Senate rules, he's required to do so. But I believe, and the Senate is now leaning towards having no witnesses. But every day that Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to send that over, it's only hurting her members. The 30 Democrat members of Congress who are sitting in congressional districts that Donald Trump won in 2016, that they won in 2018, are losing every day because they have nothing to run for reelection on. That's the most important thing. And when it does get to the U.S. Senate, we know there's already been motions filed to immediately end this impeachment, go to a vote, and then exonerate this president of the United States. So that's going to be very important. As for me, look, I'll be coming up on Trish Regan this week on Fox News, I think on Tuesday. I got Lou Dobbs on Wednesday. I've got, I'm on TV all the time fighting for the president. I write a regular column for the Hill newspaper and Real Clear Politics. And so I'm easy to be found, right? I'm out there fighting every day, and I need you and your listeners to continue to fight every day, because the second we stop fighting is the day that they start winning, and we can't allow them, because this election is about capitalism versus socialism. It's about fighting for what you believe in, as opposed to giving everybody everything for free, including illegal immigrants who get free health care and free education. It's not the country I grew up in, and it's not the one I'm going to leave to my children.
As we wrap up with Corey Lewandowski, Steve Bannon especially has been a very outspoken advocate, saying that this president doesn't need to be vindicated. He needs to be exonerated. And in order to do that, there needs to be a full-blown Senate trial. I don't trust John Roberts in a supervisory role. I don't trust a lot of Republican senators to make this about a presidential exoneration. You have the president's ear. You guys talk about stuff. And if you don't want to share his opinion, what's yours? Does the president want a full-blown trial? And is that what he needs? Or should this thing be dusted off, gotten rid of, so we can move on with the agenda of the country?
But I don't speak for the president, but I do speak with him. And I have told him that I think putting this behind us as expeditiously as possible is the best thing for him. And don't kid yourself. The Democrats say they want to have this long, drawn-out trial, and they want to bring witnesses forward. They have no interest in seeing Hunter Biden and Joe Biden brought forward. They have no interest in seeing the people who committed the crimes against Carter Page and Mike Flynn, and the eavesdropping that took place from the trifecta of the former intelligence community with Comey, Brennan, and McCabe and Clapper. They don't want to see those guys brought forward. You bring those guys forward, guess what happens, right? We are winning, and they will lose, and I'll promise you this. There is no way Chuck Schumer and his team is going to allow that to happen. It's all pondering. It's all pandering. And what's ultimately going to happen, they're going to dismiss this very quickly. They're going to present the case. They're going to dismiss it very quickly, and the president is going to be validated as knowing that there were no crimes or misdemeanors committed.
Corey Lewandowski, we really thank you for the generosity of your time. I know you've got a plane to catch. I may get to broadcast from CPAC. Will I see you there?
I'll be there.
All right.
You betcha.
I'll track you down. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your time in Denver today.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, who's better? And Cory Gardner, other Republicans in Arizona, other difficult states, I hope that you'll go back and listen to the conversation we just had with Corey Lewandowski about what it takes to win in 2020. So very important. All right, we've got callers on the line, 303-696-1971. John Tig Tegan at the top of the hour. He's one of the heroes who survived in Benghazi. And Pat Neville next hour as well. So stay with us. Our new time, 9 to noon. Wake up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We've got to get the Jared Polis I Don't Want It back up on the new button bar. Whippersnapper will get right on that. I just love when that song pops up. All right, welcome back. Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, new time, 9 to noon every single Saturday. We've got about just under 10 minutes, so everybody on the phone, sit tight. Just a couple of texts I want to read real quick regarding the drag queen story time going on in Lafayette at the Lafayette Library, 775 West Baseline Road. Parents, grandparents, concerned citizens should be out there. And according to the website, it starts at 11. And you can also call the library and politely, respectfully, earnestly voice your displeasure if you, like me, disagree. And I'll tell you what, we've got one open line now. If there is a parent out there who thinks this is a good idea or is planning to attend, I would love to hear from you. And I'll give you all the time that we have. And to talk about it, 303-696-1971. Here is a great idea from another texter on the 710 KNUS app. In fact, it's good old Alexa. Randy, maybe we should promote a soldier story time or a good guy with a gun story time. That way we can teach children that guns aren't scary. These people care about us, actually want to protect people. Soldiers, gun owners comprise a much higher percentage of the population than the very, very small transgender cross-dressers population. It's a really good point. Would the Lafayette Library allow us to have a good guy with a gun story time? Man, what a great idea. I hope somebody will pick up that ball and run with it. All right, let's start. We'll go with Don first because he's got a comment on drag queen story time. Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm disturbed by what I've just heard on the radio. And, you know, I have a son, and the last place I would want him to be was in a room with a bunch of transvestites trying to indoctrinate him. I don't understand why Lafayette Library would even go to this extreme. What is their purpose? You know, for years, I've witnessed and observed the gay community trying to make it more mainstream. Well, now they're going another step into the transgenders. And, you know, I've had enough of this. I mean, my God, we were raised as boys and girls. Can we get through this and get over this bunch of crap?
And Don, it's not that we were necessarily even raised as boys and girls. We were born as boys and girls.
Thank you very much.
And
thank you.
And listen, I share your frustration. It is so true that any time the left just begs us for a little more tolerance, a little more understanding, it's not the end game. It's always just a means to an end. And I have sympathy for people who are struggling with these things. I believe that it is real for people, but we don't turn society on its head. And I'll tell you what, if you go to dragqueenstoryhour.org, I encourage everybody to go there, not to donate, but look at the picture that they proudly put on their main page, this little toddler staring at a drag queen with a young mother-aged lady kneeling down with her arm on her, and she looks terrified. And then they say, capture the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and give kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. Really?
Unbelievable. Don, well, what I don't understand is who is attending. Who are these young kids that want to go see this, and why? Where did they come up with that? You know?
Well, we've got full lines, but I am reaching out. Any parent, any transgender individual, I promise you will be given a full hearing and a respectful conversation. I want to hear how you justify or promote this as a good thing for anybody's kids, even your own kids. It just seems crazy to me. Don, thank you so much.
And to me, and thanks for taking my call.
All right. Let's... Kevin in Brighton is a gay man, and so it'll be interesting to get your take. Kevin, welcome. Thank you for calling the show.
Thank you so much, Randy, for always being there. And I am horrified that this kind of crap goes on with our children in our schools. And just, you know, I wouldn't put up with it with my own child. Having them run through this stuff. I think it's wrong, and I wish people could see that, because it's not God's way to do this kind of stuff. So anyway, I'm upset about it too.
Well, I hope you'll give the library a call, 303-6...
Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to call them as soon as they open it, and I have the number, but... I just think it's horrible. Also, can I say something very nice to you? Thank you for your son-in-law. He's a wonderful man. He's worked on my car twice.
All right.
And I really, really love him as a mechanic. And so I hope you'll tell him that, because he's very important to me. And maybe I shouldn't have brought that up on the radio, but I had to.
Well, I don't mind, Kevin. We opened our shop, Hartger's Garage in Littleton, in October now, and it is just, we've added employees, and the parking lot is packed. It's been going great. So thank you for that.
I really, really appreciate everything he does, and I've told him, and he's such a kind man. So you must have a wonderful daughter that married a really good man.
Well, I kind of like her.
Yeah, I bet you do.
God bless you, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a great day.
And let me just tell you, that will mean the world for Mike, because you are right. That is exactly the kind of person he is. So I can't wait to share that with him. I doubt.
Please do.
Thank
Please
you, sir.
Do. All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Gay man calling in, really upset about drag queen story time at the Lafayette Library, 11 o'clock today, 775 West Baseline Road. We should have a presence there. We should have cameras. We should let folks know that this is unacceptable. And I would love, with Kevin's open line, to hear from somebody who supports this, who is maybe going or has a child that they want to expose to this particular behavior. Right from their website, and we will get Mike, sit tight, we'll get to you before the break. Right from the website, Drag Queen Story Hour is a fun and important program that celebrates diversity in the way that children may dress and act, encourages children to look beyond gender stereotypes, and embrace unfettered exploration of self. Because, yeah, that's what this tiny little girl, toddler, or maybe it's a boy dressed up as a girl. I mean, God knows what these people are doing, but she looks terrified. Check it out for yourself, dragqueenstoryhour.org. And Mike is a good final caller for this hour, because we'll be talking with John Tig Teigen in just a few minutes, the hero from Benghazi, our own Patrick Neville, two tours of duty in Iraq. And Mike, you've got some thoughts on the drone strike. Let's hear them, please.
Well, I've got a thought on the drone strike, but I wanted to make a comment on your last. Here's a question I'd like to hear asked at a Democratic debate, which would never get asked because they couldn't answer it, honestly. But how many genders are there? Ask that question at the next Democratic debate and see what you come up with. As far as I'm concerned, that's a litmus test for me. If you say more than two, you're not getting my vote. But anyways, I just thought I'd throw that in. But about the drone strike...
Well, and by the way, Court, you know, if you Google it, you get 112 genders right now, so go figure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I only thought it was in the 30s. I didn't realize it had gone up so much recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, we live in a pretty confused time.
So we've got about a minute, Mike, so jump in, baby.
Okay,
I know you waited. I appreciate it.
Yeah. As far as the drone strike is concerned, first of all, the guy was on foreign territory, so I don't have any problem with that. And also, he was a military man. So military man on foreign territory, he's open game.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it in my mind. The real question is it good policy? Is it good strategy? Should we be just bringing everybody home and leave the Middle East to its own devices? That's the one of the questions we'll get into with Tig on the other side.
You know, the Pandora's box that was opened was going into Iraq in the first place and deposing Saddam, you know, and it's a mess now. It's hard to say what we should do.
And I agree with you on that, but my point, you know, my belief is we didn't control that. We didn't have anything to say about it. What's done is done. We need to live in the world that we have now. And, Mike, really appreciate the call. We've got to run. Top of the hour already. First hour gone. Tig Tegan on the other side. We'll also talk to Patrick Neville. Two tours in Iraq. More and more happenings as we kick off the Roaring 20s here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.